it was spot on. So says 75% of Americans. Where have all the normal people gone? Is it possible? Crazy? Christians? Duck, here comes another manhole cover. And the challenge today? Stop living in the past. And remember those good things, but stop living there. Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. News, information, comment, help from the Bible today. Call a friend. Tell them Patton's on the air. We'll do the news in just one moment. Well, I was excited. I heard from Pastor Nathan Jennings of the First Free Will Baptist Church in Elizabethton yesterday. He said they are really looking forward to our coming to the church on March the 2nd, a Saturday night, being there Sunday morning, March the 3rd. He tagged his comment to me on Facebook with, "Love you, preacher. Never met this guy. Loves me." That's what the Bible says. I don't have to know. He's a brother in Christ, loves the Lord, serving God. I love him too. Are you that way? I love the guy who let me buy and put a tire on his car last week in sub-zero temperatures. I love the guy who bought me a 2007 Toyota Camry XLE. That stands for executive. God is good. I love God's people, men, women, children who've trusted Christ as Savior. It used to be in my past. It was all the world, the world, the world. Wow. I had no idea what I was getting into December 31st, 1973, when I got saved. You live there? I'm so excited. It's a great day. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. I'm going to live for Jesus today. How about you? Love your brothers and sisters in Christ and do all you can to represent the Lord. We're going to talk more about this later. It is really good stuff. Thanks for listening today. So many still trying to figure out, what did he say last night and how did he say it? Others believe it was a grand slam. Some say Trump rocked the house. We will never be a socialist country. Wow, was Nancy and Bernie scowling last night. CBS poll, 76% approve of the president's speech. Let us reaffirm, really like this one, let's reaffirm a fundamental truth. All children, born and unborn, are made in the holy image of God. Really? The president said that? The president was excited with the Drudge Report. You need to read the Drudge Report. Undoubtedly, the most read publication. Get it online by conservatives for years, and everybody, Democrats, read it. Find out what's going on. You read the Drudge Report. The Donald flaunted a screenshot of the Drudge Report, labeling him the Teflon Donald Tuesday afternoon, announcing on Twitter he was looking forward to giving his State of the Union address. The Drudge homepage featured a Rasmussen report on Trump's 48% approval rating, in addition to a Wall Street Journal report that the president plans to call for unity at his address, and he did. So what happened? Trump called for unity, not revenge. He railed against ridiculous investigations, I wonder what he was saying, and politics of revenge, and pleaded for unity as Washington again finds itself deadlocked over border security funding and on the verge of another government shutdown. Touting economic gains during his first 2 years in office, as well as legislative wins on issues like criminal justice reform, Trump warned that deepening partisan tensions undermine America's progress. I think we can agree with most of this, right? An economic miracle is taking place in the U.S., and the only thing that can stop it are foolish wars, politics, or ridiculous partisan investigations. Yeah, that was an apparent reference to the Democratic congressional probe of his administration and possibly to Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russian investigation. There's going to be peace and legislation. There cannot be war and investigation. It just doesn't work that way. At the same time, the president did not back down from his insistence that Congress fund a border wall, which was at the center of his 35-day government shutdown that ended only weeks ago and could be fueled for another one on February the 15th. So I guess they're saying today, overall, the conservatives, the Republicans are smiling, and the Democrats in a tizzy. The president's probably thinking today, so is everybody happy? While some were not happy, Ann Coulter has just been going at it with the president, formerly his biggest supporter. She called the address the lamest, sappiest, most intentionally tear-jerking State of the Union address ever. If the president was hoping his State of the Union speech would get himself back into the good graces of Ann Coulter, got some work to do. After weeks of blasting Trump for his inability to make any progress on the southern border wall, the conservative firebrand live-tweeted her State of the Union interviewing experience Tuesday night. It was not good. Boy, she just wants him to do that wall, nothing else, get it done, or else you won't be president in 2020. My, she is a tough cookie. Well, this is kind of unbelievable. Trapped by the sharp claws and teeth of a mountain lion. A runner, guy out running. Fought hard for his life to break free, according to wildlife officials, and he choked the mountain lion to death. A man was running by himself at Horsetooth Mountain Open Space near Fort Collins, Colorado, when he heard something behind him. He turned around and an 80-pound mountain lion jumped on him. The young lion bit the runner's face and wrist, but he managed to break free and kill the lion in self-defense. This almost sounds like a Bible story. In checking out the dead animal, they say it was suffocated. The lion, which was less than a year old, tested negative for rabies. The runner did everything he could to save his life. In the event of a lion attack, you need to do anything in your power to fight back, just as this guy did. The runner suffered serious injuries, was taken to a hospital, but he was released and is alive. Wow. Illinois police investigating two highway shootings on Monday that left a woman dead, three people wounded. The shootings on Interstate 57. I have driven that. In Chicago, occurred about 8 miles apart. An Illinois State Police spokesman Tuesday declined to tell the Associated Press whether investigators believe the two shootings are connected. They have come to no conclusions, they say. The three people traveling in one vehicle were shot while driving northbound on the interstate. A 38-year-old man critically wounded and two boys, 15 and 12, hospitalized in stable condition. Everywhere, the mall, the highway, the grocery store, shootings everywhere today. I wonder what a manhole cover weighs. The covers began blowing off on a major midtown street during the height of the Wednesday morning commute. That in Atlanta, Georgia. Officers reported the area of 500 Peachtree Street in reference to what was reported as an underground electrical explosion, according to police. Wouldn't that be something to witness? No injuries reported. That's unusual. You never know what a day will bring forth. One day, the Democrats in Virginia are just smiling, everything's fine, and then, oh, you know what happened then. They say it's just a mess in Virginia. Race and gender fault lines are crippling things. Back-to-back bombshells, eliciting sharp, different responses within that party. Democrats couldn't react fast enough to the racist photo of Virginia Governor Ralph Northam's old yearbook, showing one man dressed as a Klansman, another in blackface. Is one of them the governor? But now a newly surfaced sexual assault allegation against the man who would replace Northam if he resigns, Justin Fairfax, the state's African-American lieutenant governor and a rising star in the party, has left Democratic national figures and Virginia lawmakers at a total loss for words. What's going to happen in Virginia? Were these people just crazy Christians, or were they just crazy? Right after this. At the end of today's program, I'm going to talk about your purpose in life. What are you living for today? A pay raise, maybe? Retirement? Then perhaps you've discovered the reality that basing aspirations on getting ahead in this old world typically ends in real disappointment. People with a misguided sense of direction often wonder why they feel so unfulfilled in this old world. Maybe you've already achieved your goal of saving or moving up the corporate ladder. You give to charity, volunteer at church, but somehow you still kind of feel a sense of insignificance and aimlessness. If so, there's a truth you need to hear. God gives each of us a life for a very specific reason, namely to serve Him. Nobody finds inner peace without reconciling this fact. Our society teaches us that pleasure and prosperity and position, oh, and popularity, will make us happy. But living in the service of self always leaves an emptiness that no earthly reward will ever be able to fill. Besides, the world philosophy will not stand the test of time. Few of us are going to live to be 100 years old. Would you agree with that? So whatever we'll become in this life, we are in the process right now of becoming that, right now. Consider David. He was anointed king long before he actually assumed the role, 1 Samuel 16. He spent many years serving the purpose of God in insignificant ways and places while developing into a great man of God. As his story shows, discovering God's purpose for your life is the surest path to success. We'll share more later. Don't go away. Hey, have you noticed there is such a thing as crazy Christians? Well, maybe not. Maybe they're just crazy. A Wisconsin couple and their son have been arrested in the death of a 7-year-old boy in their care after they allegedly punished him for not memorizing Bible verses. Timothy and Tina Holschott and their 15-year-old son made the 7-year-old, whose name was Ethan, hold a 44-pound log for 2 hours every day for a week. While being monitored during his punishment, a medical examiner believes that the teen hit and kicked the younger boy 100 times, rolled the heavy log over his chest, and stood on his head and body while Ethan was face down in a puddle. He then allegedly buried him in his own little coffin of snow. Ethan died of hypothermia and blunt force trauma. This family's son has been charged with first-degree reckless homicide, while his father, Timothy, 48, is charged with felony murder and felony contributing to the delinquency of a child. Both the father and the son face additional numbers of charges. Tina, 35, is charged with failing to prevent bodily harm and intentionally contributing to the delinquency of a child. It's not known how this family is related to Ethan, but Timothy and Tina are listed as his court-appointed guardians, along with two of his siblings. The 15-year-old told police that he was put in charge of supervising Ethan and his twin, who were both undergoing punishment of carrying logs for not knowing 13 Bible verses of Timothy's choosing. Ethan's birth mother, Andrea Everett, spoke out after the boy's death. When I got there, Ethan did not have a heartbeat and his temperature was 23 degrees. They worked on him for 5 hours. He lost his life. I want justice for my son. A medical examiner's report said that the boy suffered from blunt force trauma to the head, abdomen, and chest. My, oh my, oh my. What do you think? They knew of God? They didn't know God? And now a peek at how the other half lives. I like to do this every now and then. And looking at this picture, this is unbelievable. I'm not into mod, and this house looks mod, but hey, it's an estate on Indian Creek Island. Selling for $50 million, making it the most expensive single-family home ever sold in the Miami area. The property was not officially listed, but had sold in 2012, about 7 years ago, for $47 million. At the time, that also marked a record for the most expensive home ever sold in Miami-Dade County. Unbelievable. How the other half lives? Lamborghini's new $200,000 SUV. Take this, soccer mom, to the grocery store. It boosts the automaker's sales by 51% last year. It really did a job. Lamborghini, $200,000 SUV. Let's take a break. Remember yesterday? Please, Holy Spirit, I don't want to go. We're going to get back on that horse right after this important message. Have you prayed for your local Christian radio station, wherever you're listening to this across America? I pray that you have. They need you. They need your prayers, absolutely, but they need your support and none better than some finance, my friend. It costs so much to run a Christian radio station, and people volunteer their time. Oh, sure, they get paid. So do you at your job, but do you volunteer? They do. I'm very acquainted with WHCB 91.5 down in Tri-Cities, Tennessee, and those people work hard, starting with Dr. Ken Hill, the head of the operation. What a guy through sickness and almost like the mailman. Snow, sleet, rain, he's there doing the job for Jesus. Pray for these folks wherever you're listening to this Christian radio station and support them. Sure, get out the credit card, the checkbook, and say, I want to be a part of Christian Radio. So we started yesterday asking the question, what am I doing here? Why are you here on this earth at this time? Why was I born near Fort Wayne, Indiana, and live here today? Do you have any problems? We read Philippians 3, 10, and 11 yesterday, Paul saying that I want to know Jesus Christ so that I may be like him. Finding your purpose in life, that's what we were talking about. Do you know what that is for you? You know, our lives are without any meaning, and our lives are doomed for failure unless we find out what is our purpose and reason for living. Now, that may sound a bit critical, but it is not, my friend. We need to know. Simply put, you know what Paul was saying here? Paul's reason for living was to be like Jesus Christ. And you know, this should be your reason for living also, to be like him. Number one, we found out we've got to find our purpose. And then I certainly want to forget the past. I think I've done that. Now, I bring it up in my testimony as I speak on the radio and my own church and churches across the country. I talk about what I used to be, and through the power of Almighty God, I'm not that anymore. You know, there are two elements of the past that we must forget. Forgetting the bad. Paul, just like us, had a bad past that he needed to forget. Is that right? He had tortured and murdered many innocent people. He had caused a lot of pain and had done much damage to the cause of Jesus Christ. But now he was faced with a choice. He could either dwell on those mistakes and let them run his life and his chance for effective ministry, or he could forget all about them and move on with his life. And that's what you and I need to do. And just like Paul had a choice, you do too. Maybe you've had a bad experience lately, or maybe you did something long ago that you regret to this very day. Maybe the memories keep coming back to haunt you and keep you from living a full life today. Believe it or not, many of us have had a bad past. But let me tell you, it's time to forget that. It really is. It's time to get a revelation. It's over. It's done. It's gone. It's past. Stop letting the devil and his demons get you down with that thing. There's nothing you're going to do to change it. The only thing that you can do is forget it and move on. Amen? Would you agree with that? It was on New Year's Day 1929. Georgia Tech was playing California. Late in the second quarter, Roy Regals recovered a fumble for California, and his excitement became confused, and you've probably heard this story, even if you're not a football fan. Roy began running in the wrong direction. After racing 65 yards, he was finally tackled by his own player at the California 2-yard line. California attempted to punt from deep in their own end zone, but the kick was blocked and Georgia Tech scored a safety. In the locker room at halftime, Roy Regals sat in the corner with his face buried in his hands and he was crying. The rest of the room was silent. The coach didn't make his usual halftime speech, but shortly before the team was to take the field for the second half, he said, "The starting team is going back onto this field and begin the second half." The whole team left the locker room except for Regals, who remained in the corner with his face buried in his hands. "I can't do it, coach," he said. I can't play. I've ruined the team." The coach said, "Get up, Regals. The game is only half over, and you belong on the field, and you need to do your job." You know, I think that's one of the fascinating things to get out of Bill Belichick of the New England Patriots. And you'll hear his players say it in interviews constantly. "I'm just doing my job." All Belichick wants you to do is your job. Do what you're assigned to do. Well, with Roy Regals, guess what happened? "Our game is only half over." That's right. Regardless of the past, my friend, we still have the rest of the game of life to play today. So what if the enemy scored off you in the past? God is willing to forget about the mistakes of the first half, and he expects you to do the same today, my friend. Let me give you a couple of verses. Isaiah 43:25, it says, "I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." Isaiah 43:25. Memorize it. Repeat it several times. In Jeremiah 31:34, it says, "For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin, and I will remember no more." Now, in continuing in forgetting the past, you must not only forget the bad, but, and here's the second key, remember the good things out of your past and and stop living for them. What? Remember them and stop living for them? Many of you probably remember the old Bruce Springsteen song, Glory Days. It's about the guy who can't quit thinking about all the fun he had back in high school, and he says time slips away and leaves you with nothing but boring stories of glory days. You know, many people zero in on one good period of time in their life, one good one, and spend the rest of their lives trying to relive that past. Maybe it was in high school, huh? Maybe college. Maybe when you first got married. Maybe when the kids were young. But I've found out that, surprisingly enough, this is the same temptations that many Christians give in to. So many times I've heard people say, remember the good old days when so-and-so was still here. I'm guilty of this, by the way. And how they could pray, or how they could do this, or how they could do that. Oh, that guy could really sing. And remember when the pastor was on fire and ran up and down the aisles, and I used to do that, by the way, and so on. Remember those days? But you see, Paul knew that a good past was not enough to guarantee any kind of meaningful future. In verses 4 and 7 here, Philippians 3, Paul was saying, I will not live in the past. My reason for living is to be like Jesus Christ, and whatever happened yesterday, good or bad, is now ancient history. So I'm going to live today for Jesus. Amen? One good thing we can know for certain is that God never consults your past to determine what your future would be. Let me repeat that. God never consults your past to determine your future. We'll share more on this on tomorrow's program, but there are a couple of things here yet I wanted to share. Part of your purpose in this life is to build strong and fruitful relationships with other people. So said Zig Ziglar. Have you ever heard of him? The day really is what you make it, so why not make this a great day, said Steve Schulte. Write it on your heart that every day is the best day of the year, Ralph Waldo Emerson. And I really like what Tom Hopkins said. Being miserable, that is a habit. Being happy, that is a habit. The choice is yours. You cannot tailor-make situations in life. Would you agree with that? But I believe you can tailor-make the attitude that comes in fitting that situation. That is a key. Let me go out on a limb here and say this is not enough. Now, hearing this one time is just not enough. You can go to gregpatton.com, take him a while to put this back up, and listen to yesterday's program, today's program, last month's program. Really good. iTunes podcast, gregpatton.com. Listen to it a few times. It'll help you. Not that far away from here in Crown Point, Indiana, sits a cafe at the heart of the community, and every day at Cafe Fresco, a small staff bustles behind the counter brewing coffee and inspiration with handwritten encouragement all over the cup sleeves. Believe there is good in the world. Be the good is owner Brianne Zolfo's favorite. The 31-year-old former nanny opened the coffee house 6 years ago and on a whim started writing little uplifting messages for customers. Well, I just hope that it would, like, add some positive light to a person's day, because it's not everyone who gets to experience that in a given day, said Zolfo. Customer reaction, overwhelming. So she took it a step further by challenging them to perform good deeds for a free cup of Joe. She's handing out a lot of coffee now. That's a great idea. And finally, I can see this happening to me. He was in his late 80s, and this man says, my father-in-law went to the DMV to renew his driver's license. At one point during the road test, he approached a four-way stop, looked to his left, cruised right through the stop sign. Sir, you didn't look to the right, yelled the frightened inspector. My father-in-law calmly shook his head and said, that's Mom's side. As you get older, you'll understand that more. That's it, another edition of Hello World. I'm Greg Patton. We come your way each day, this time on this Christian radio station, for which we are so grateful to them and to you for listening. Like us on Facebook, Greg, G-R-E-G, Patton, P-A-T-T-E-N. Until tomorrow, God bless. Enjoy your Wednesday.